issues for May 13th, 2005, Friday the 13th. Don't know who that will be unlucky for. Perhaps anyone who speaks to us today.
I think, Mr. Chair, only the first person who speaks to us.
Oh, thanks. We will open a work session on Senate Bill 281. Sam?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 281 would modify the terms and conditions under which a county may sell or exchange real estate. This was had a public hearing back on March 11th. It would allow counties to take full range of real estate transaction laws, which have since changed, and delete a number of provisions that would only limit them to contracts. I bring your attention to two amendments that we have. The dash one is from Representative Wood, who I believe would be here to explain a little bit about that, but it would briefly, it'll replace the section 9 in there with new language that would clarify the distribution of proceeds from related to sale or lease of county lands. And the dash two are from B.J. Smith of Clackamas County, and it would make reference to a provision that Clackamas County uses, and I think they may be the only county that uses such a provision.
Thank you. Sam? Representative Wood? Would you like to bring the commissioner with you?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. You have it? I might have an extra. We have two amendments to the bill, and the first dash one is Representative Witt. So, good afternoon, Brad, and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. Brad Witt, State Representative from House District 31, and accompanying me is Columbia County Chairperson Tony Hyde. Mr. Chairman, we've put this amendment in for the benefit of counties that that have a potential of realizing monies from mineral and gas type leases. The concept behind this is to treat those potential kind of revenues not unlike what is potentially available now for the sale of real estate should counties be engaged in that kind of a transaction. The end result is trying to make it easier, more affordable for counties who incur costs as they're going through this mineral lease process to be able to pay for those services. And with that, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Hyde is far more of an expert on this than I am. So,
good to see you again, Tony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Tony Hyde, Chairman of the Board of Commissioners in Columbia County. And as you may know, Columbia County is the one county in the state of Oregon that has significant gas reserves, also known as the Miss Gas Fields. And in the Miss Gas Fields, we have three different issues that arise for us, one around exploration, one around extraction, and now one around storage. And storage is really the big issue, and it's around the issue of the $190 million worth of gas lines that have been invested in the Miss Fields both to and from around the topic of storage. And we have yet, in our 1,600 acres of mineral rights, leased the bulk of the storage. And as the, another commissioner moved on and I became the appointed negotiator for all three of those issues with the gas companies, I found myself running off to a five-day school, and at the end of that five-day school, I found that all I learned in 5 days was I knew very little, if nothing, about negotiating for gas storage, extraction, and exploration. Upon finding out that I knew nothing about those issues, or little or nothing, I thought it was prudent for Columbia County to hire an expert. So we hired a consultant from Texas, and we have incurred significant cost as a result of that, but long term, and now we're talking about 160 years worth of lease. So we get one shot at this, and it's very important. long-term, it's going to pay off, not only for the citizens of Columbia County, but also in the public ownership, but also for citizens of Columbia County that have private ownership up in this field, and they are significant in number two. And they're watching what we do very closely with our consultant. But one thing that we did find out at the end of the day is there's no statutory allowance for us to recoup our costs for this or any other consultant with regard to mineral rights. When we're talking about costs of over $100,000, that's a very big and significant deal for us indeed. So we've asked Representative Wood if he could help us with this amendment, and he's been very gracious in doing so. And now, Chair Gerard, you've been very gracious as well with allowing this amendment to your bill.
Any questions of the panel? Saying none, thank you, General.
Thank you very much, thank Mr. you. Chairman.
Now we have a Dash 2 committee, and that's been proposed by Ms. Smith. If she will come forward to explain the Dash 2.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. I'm B.J. Smith. I'm the Government Relations Director for Clackamas County, and I was wondering if you would indulge my request to have Chris Crane come up also, because we did work with the bar to try to make a slight technical change in this.
Mr. Crane, come forward. I'm surprised you didn't gotten stuff this with the hammer drill.
Well, I wasn't thinking, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify before you on Senate Bill 281. My name is Chris Crane. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon State Bar, the Real Estate and Land Use Section, where I chair the Committee on Land Use Legislation, and we introduced Senate Bill 281. Everything starts with 10 anymore. 281. Every session the bar introduces a number of law improvement bills. This cleans up some statutes regarding how counties buy and sell property, and the statutes haven't been amended in 20 plus years, and it will allow counties to use things like mortgages and trust deeds and take down payments while the purchaser is financing the property and engage in, as the committee administrator aptly commented, it allows counties to engage in a full range of financing mechanisms used in the real estate market today. After hearing the testimony from the gentleman from Columbia County, I've decided his amendment is a whole lot more important than the rest of this bill. Let's just adopt the amendment and throw away the bill, frankly. But I would encourage, the bar is fine with, we don't oppose either of the amendments. I think they're both fine amendments. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, and this is B.J. Smith, I will explain basically what happened. In the original language on Senate Bill 281, the language constructed an exclusive remedy for canceling a purchase agreement, and that was proposed to be additional language into the law, an exclusive remedy. But when we saw that, we in fact use a different remedy at law for how we might sell and basically handle a breach of a land sale contract. And what we do in Clackamas County, because we think it's a buyer-friendly process, is that we proceed under ORS 93.905 to 93.940. So it's a provision allowed for us that has to do with forfeiture. And if we have a potential breach of a sales contract, we provide notice to the individual and allow the individual to cure that breach under the forfeiture process. And what we wanted to do was make certain that that would continue to be allowed as an option for a county to do that. And that was basically the source of our discussion here with the bar, to make certain that the language here did not prevent us or preclude us from using that current option that's available.
Any questions of the panel in regards to the Dash 2s? Representative Greenup.
Other than what they do, specifically, I want to tell them what the Dash 2 does instead of the Dash 1.
Chair Gerard,
how it relates to the whole thing.
Chair Gerard, Representative Greenlake, counties buy and sell a fair amount of property. They get it through foreclosure, by donation, purchase, and otherwise. The statute currently allows counties to sell property either for cash or by purchase agreement made in for equal payment installments over the course of 20 years. Well, it often happens that people don't meet their obligations under the contract, and so the question then arises, what do you do about it? And the county, many counties, most counties, I think, follow the remedy provisions in ORS 275-220. Clackamas County, it turns out, uses a somewhat different process found in ORS Chapter 905, which is, there's a process there that's laid out for, it's the forfeiture statutes, there's remedy provision for counties there. They find it a more user-friendly process. It's a process they're comfortable with, they're familiar with. There's no substantive reason to force them into a different process for curing defaults on a sale contract. So we amended, we worked out some language to amend the bill to allow all counties to continue to use whatever process they're using now.
And it, if I may, and it's addition. It's an addition to what's in the basic bill and in the dash ones.
That's correct. The dash ones and the dash twos do not conflict. You can adopt them both, and they can be engrossed without conflict.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Representative Witt, would you come back up for just a quick moment?
Wanted to make sure that you were okay with the dash two amendments.
For the record, Brad Witt, House District 31, Mr. Chairman, perfectly fine with the dash two amendments.
Thank you very much, Representative. Dash twos?
I thought that's what I said. Dash two.
Yeah.
Dash two.
I thought
record.
You said that too. It's only Representative Green that
we're getting.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
We'll close the. We're in a work session already. The chair would seek a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Smith.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 281.
Representative Smith has moved the Dash 1s into Senate Bill 281. Is there any objection? Seeing no objections, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Greenland?
Aye.
Nolan?
Yes.
Anderson?
Excused.
Smith.
Aye.
Sumner.
Aye.
Greg.
Chair votes aye. The Dash 1 amendments are moved to Senate Bill 281. Mr. Representative Smith.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 281.
Representative Smith has moved the Dash 2s to Senate Bill 281. Any objections? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman.
Aye.
Greenland.
Aye.
Nolan.
Yes.
Anderson.
Excused.
Smith.
Aye.
Sumner.
Aye.
Chair.
Chair votes aye. The Dash 2s are also made part of Senate. I'll move to Senate Bill 281. Representative Smith.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 281 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Smith has moved Senate Bill 281 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman.
Aye.
Greenland.
Aye.
Nolan.
Yes.
Smith.
Aye.
Sumner.
Aye.
Chair Wright.
Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 281 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and Representative Witt will be the carrier.
Thank you very much, Mr.
President. You're welcome. We will close the work session on Senate Bill 281.
Construed.
And committee, we will open a work session on Senate Bill 103. Sam?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 103, you had, like with the last bill, heard on March 11th. This bill would establish conditions for siting a dwelling in conjunction with a farm use on exclusive farming zones in marginal county lands. You may recollect that the marginal county lands only apply to two counties out of the 36, and that's Washington County and Wayne County. This particular amendment or measure seeks to correct a 2001 oversight that had excluded these two marginal counties from taking advantage of what all the rest of the counties in the state can do. So that's in a short nutshell what this particular measure does.
Thank you, Sam. Dennis, would you come forward?
Good afternoon.
Dennis Melvin of Washington County. I think the only thing I need to add to that is that DLCD, Metro, Washington County, the agricultural community, I just talked to the Farm Bureau and they said they support it. All of those folks support it. It came out of the Senate committee with no dissenting votes, and it passed the Senate floor with no dissenting votes.
Any questions of Mr. Melville?
He skipped the fact that we have also a letter in the in our folder from Thousand Friends of Oregon supporting something. I think that's really...
I don't.
I would like that noted also, and I'm thankful for the support.
The chair would seek a motion.
Chair.
Representative Smith.
I'll move Senate Bill 103 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Smith has moved Senate Bill 103 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman. Aye. Greenland. Aye. Millen.
Yes.
Smith.
Aye.
Sumner.
Aye.
Chair Gregg.
Chair votes aye.
Take
Bob, I heard your name as a carrier on this at one time, but I don't know why. I'll take it. Would you?
Sure.
Okay. Representative Ackerman will be the carrier. And we close the work session on Senate Bill 103.
Okay. Hold on. I consented it.
We'll reopen the work session on Senate Bill 103. Representative Nolan.
Would you mind if we put it on the consent calendar?
I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Would you mind putting it on consent?
No.
Thanks. I'll move that we put this Senate Bill 103 on the consent calendar.
Representative Nolan has moved that Senate Bill 103 be moved to the consent calendar. Seeing any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Thank you, Representative Nolan. And we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 91A. Public hearing on 91A. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, 91A is related to the presentation that you had earlier in the week on the South Salou, so I don't need to go in to tell you where the South Salou is and what it all is, because I think you had several hours of presentation on that, although this particular measure would allow the South Salou Management Commission to be able to adopt rules for implementing system fees to recover costs of people who use the reserve. It would also establish management account for this common school fund instead of in the general fund, and also the transfer of monies therein. Do we have anyone on the sign up sheet, Sam? Jeanette Holman? It had to be you. You were the only one left out there that we don't know.
She's the one with the other one, too. Next one.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jeanette Holman, the Assistant Director for Administration and Finance for the Department of State Lands. I'm not going to take a lot of time because I know you had a lot of South Slew on Monday and know a lot about it at this point. I would like to mention that South Slew receives about 26,000 visitors a year. 5,000 of those are usually or more are school children, and that is a complicating factor in any system of fees. The legislature last session in a budget note directed us to explore the possibility of imposing fees for the use of South Slough or some system of fees for different activities that go on down there. We established a technical advisory committee, and that advisory committee had no problem with some fees. They didn't have a problem with fees to use the facilities and for some of the guided trips that go on down at South Slough. They had no concerns with. They did have concerns with fees for admission, and that was primarily because they were concerned it would harm the schools that come to the South Slough every year, and that secondly, it would be detrimental to the local economy, which relies on the South Slough as a tourism attraction. When in the middle of these discussions about a fee system, we discovered that neither the department nor South Slough Management Commission had any authority to charge fees. So this bill at this point, all it does is give the commission authority to impose those fees, and before any fees were imposed, there would of course be rulemaking as well as coming back to the legislature for the appropriate expenditure limitation if we were to impose them. There's been a couple of examples of the kinds of fees. They have a visitor center down there that they have been asked a number of times to rent it out because it's a beautiful site for a wedding. And they have not been able to do that because they haven't been able to charge a fee. And to do that, they would have to have somebody there to run to be at the facility while it was going on and things like that. There's also a lot of guided trips, canoe trips, kayak trips in the slough itself that, like parks, they could charge a fee to take people out on those. That's the kind of thing they're looking at right now. They're trying to avoid having to charge the school children for admission. With that, I'd be glad to answer questions if you have any. Thank you.
Any questions from the committee? I guess I have one. This bill does not particularly direct what event you could determine to establish a fee for.
That's correct. All this does is give them the authority to set up that fee system.
And where would the money go collected from the fees?
The money would go back into the Common School Fund to counter some of the money that is paid out of the Common School Fund to support the South School right now.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Summers.
Mr. Chair, ma'am, where have the funds been coming from previous to this that are necessary to maintain these facilities?
Mr. Chair, Representative Summers, currently the South Slough is supported primarily by federal funds, and they get federal grant funds through the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association of the Department of Commerce, and we provide about $800,000 to $900,000 a biennium in match in Common School Fund monies.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Ms. Homer. Why don't you just stay there, and we'll get you on the next one, too. We will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 91A and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 92.
Yes, Senate Bill 92 deals with the same place. What Senate Bill 92, though, seeks to do is to expand the membership of who can be a management commission to include a representative of an Oregon Indian tribe. The member would be appointed by the governor after consultation with the Commission on Indian Services, and it specifies in here in the report that there isn't any one particular member at this tribe member that's already been identified or earmarked to this position, so it's I guess open to probably representatives of that particular region, I would assume.
Ms. Holman?
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Jeanette Holman, Assistant Director of the Department of State Lands. As your committee administrator explained, this bill adds a Native American member to the South Slough Commission. This is in response to Oregon State Tribal Relations Law, which requires the state agencies to cooperate with the tribal governments. The South Slough is an area of cultural importance and an area of interest to the Coos, Lower Umpqua, the Siuslaw, the Coquille, and the Silex tribes. Because there's three tribes in the area, it's the recommendation of the Commission on Indian Affairs to use the same statutory language that is in existing statutes when they have a representative for board and commission from the Indian tribes, and that's the way the language in this bill reads. The bill received unanimous support from the South Sioux Commission, and I might add it passed the Senate with 29 ayes and one excuse. Thank you.
Any questions of Ms. Holman in regards to Senate Bill 92, Representative Greenman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was a bit of angst expressed. Were you here the other day?
I was here for part of it.
On the part of Coos County about not having the Coos County Forester as a member of the commission. I do note in the bill itself, in the statute, that the Coos County Commissioners can appoint a representative. Has the forester ever been appointed as a member of the commission by the...
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenwood, I believe that usually the member that's appointed by the commission is actually a commissioner. As long as I can recall, the Coos County member has been a member of the county commission. The county forester has been involved in South Sioux activities. He's often at the meetings, but he, as far as I know, he's never been actually on the commission.
Mr. Chair, I was wondering if that is really an issue that could make a difference in this, whether we might think about using this vehicle as making the Coos County Forester an ex officio member of the board on the statute or something like that. Is there any?
You
think that? Well, I mean, I'd also be interested in what the commission felt, but if there is a problem of coordination between those two issues, this might be a logical time to think of adding.
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenwood, let me tell you a couple of things that are going on down there. The South Sioux, the forest areas in the South Sioux, we are in the process of amending our memorandum of understanding with the Department of Forestry, who manages the Elliott State Forest down there for the department, and part of the amendment is to ask them to also include the lands on the South Sioux to help us manage those. As far as having another Coos County person on the commission, I believe the only concern that people might have is that it would give two votes to Coos County as opposed to the rest of the commission, and whether that would be a problem, you know, I don't know. But that is the issue, I think, with adding a second county person to the commission.
Ten or something?
Yes, it's getting bigger. It's probably would be less of a concern if we add more members to the commission. I would like to. That's something I would prefer to run by the commission itself.
Yeah.
Any further questions, Ms. Holman?
This group is subject to the public meetings laws. No.
Absolutely.
So, although there's no vote for the county forester, if there are forestry issues, one imagines that that person's there to provide expertise.
That's correct.
Okay.
Or they could be. Yeah.
They could be. Certainly, if there's a county commissioner who gets notice of all the meetings,
yes,
if there's an issue, they could alert.
And that we've got a good relationship with the county forester right now. I mean, he's been involved in South Sioux activities.
Seeing no other questions, thank you again.
Thank you.
We will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 92 and open a work session on Senate Bill 92. The chair seeks a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Smith.
I'll move Senate Bill 92 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Smith moves Senate Bill 92 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman.
Aye.
Greenland.
Aye.
Nolan.
Yes.
Anderson.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Sumner.
Aye.
Chair
Gerard. And the chair votes aye. Senate Bill 92 is passed by the committee to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Smith, would you like to carry this, or is this another?
Oh, it's consent.
I would think this may be another contender for the consent calendar. Okay. Is there any disagreement with placing Senate Bill 92 on the consent calendar? Seeing none, so done. And we will close the work session on Senate Bill 92 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 431A.
Senate Bill 431A is one which will clarify subject matters relating to local governments in appeals to LUBA. It is specifically related to when a city that is under periodic review has a work task, and who can appeal that matter. Presently, there's a lot of confusion because sometimes they get appealed, and the concern is that it gets abused by appeals go to LUBA or appeals can go to LCDC. This will clarify and will say that they will go to LCDC. We'll have the ability to then be able to hear any appeals, but the director of LCDC would have the discretion to transfer to LUBA if he feels it would be appropriate to go there. I will point out that this language is identical to language that you recently passed and was on, I think, on the floor yesterday with House Bill 3310, which was related to periodic review, in part because this particular bill was identified by the state agency, the LCD, as having importance, and it started on the Senate side. The 3310 had an amendments that came in after this one had already been in the pipeline, so that's why I think there's two particular pieces of two different bills that have the same language in it. And you have a dash one amendment that was just dropped off from Randy Tucker of Metro, and that came in
dash two.
I'm not sure if it's a dash 2 or
A2. A2's.
It is a dash 2?
I have an A2.
A2.
Mr. Tucker, would you like to come forward and try to convince this committee why we should do something with this bill?
That's not a very good start.
Stakes are low.
It's Friday the 13th, Randy, and you're probably the last one up there. So
I'm not the last guy in the whole building besides you. I'm here to provide a spine-tingling conclusion to an already gripping hearing. Aren't you glad you got here, Senator Anderson? I'm Randy Tucker. I'm with Metro. We actually brought this bill forward. Metro did, but it was brought forward as a function of the discussions that had occurred in the interim on in the task force on periodic review or whatever that committee was called. Our staff attorney Dick Benner initially drafted it, and I worked with RLC obviously on it, and then we made some fixes in the House in response to some concerns raised by, in the Senate, in response to concerns raised by the department, the LCD, which is why this is an A2 amendment. This A2 amendment was, let me just say just very briefly, what the bill is really about. You know, Sam described it. There's confusion as to where you appeal these sorts of decisions, especially urban growth boundary decisions. What happens is because the law requires decisions, appeals based on violations of the statewide planning goals to go to LCDC, and appeals based on other violations, say a statutory violation or a violation of another administrative rule or something, to go to LUBA, it wasn't always clear where the appeal should go, and what happened is that an appellant would file both places. So it was a big waste of everybody's time, both the appellant and the respondent, if those are the proper terms. The local government defending the decision would have to deal with two jurisdictions, and any parties would have to file double briefs and everything. And so what this bill says is that we're going to, and by the way, no matter if it went to LCDC or if it went to LUBA, the appeal from that decision would go to the Court of Appeals. So they'd end up in the same place anyway if the process went further. So what this bill says is we're going to send them all to LCDC. And the reason there's an exception there for the for the director to send it elsewhere is there are cases that may arise where there's an appeal that's based on something that's just beyond the competence of LCDC that has nothing to do with even maybe a land use law. It could be some kind of a constitutional question or who knows what. And so that would then go over to LUBA where we've got lawyers. It would be more appropriate to be there. So, again, another bill that had no opposition in the Senate passed, I believe, unanimously on the Senate floor. Another candidate for the consent calendar. And I'll briefly explain this amendment, and then I'll say why you might want to pass it anyway, even though it's already in the other bill. The amendment here, this language is in 3310 already. And all this says is that the department, the bill already says the department can send, so the director can send it over to LUBA if it's not appropriate to be at LCDC. What LUBA needs is a way to accept it. So this is just a technicality here that allows them to adopt a rule that allows them to accept the jurisdiction when it's sent over from LCDC. That was their request. LUBA requested this amendment. It's purely housekeeping, I believe it's fair to say. Why should you pass this bill? Well, you don't absolutely need to. On the other hand, that assumes that the other bill gets through the whole process. The other bill has a big, fat, juicy related clause of relating to land use. Anything can happen. This is something that has no opposition, and there's certainly no, except for the time that I'm gassing on here, I think there's not much effort involved in moving it through, and I recommend that you do so, or urge that you do so, but that's your prerogative, so.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Tucker?
Comment.
Representative Smith.
That was fine-tuning testimony.
Oh, one last thing. I'm sorry. This sheet that I gave you, this is the floor letter that we put out in the Senate, so nothing's really changed, but just so you know. For instance, below it says, the committee has completed its charge and will be submitting its report to the legislature soon. You've already received that report. It's a little bit out of date, but other than that.
Did I understand you correctly, though? You said this a part of the amendment was brought by LUBA.
This amendment was at the request of LUBA. I requested it. I requested that you give me a note to draft it, and it came to your office.
Yes.
So I'm the one that actually did it, but the language came from them.
Well, my question was that it deals primarily with allowing LUBA to accept.
Right. The bill is going to say everything to LCDC unless... Mr. Chair, unless the director, in his sole discretion, his or her sole discretion, feels that it's not an appropriate issue for LCDC to rule on, then the director would send it over to LUBA, and then LUBA needs a process for accepting it, and that's what this amendment does.
Any other questions? You're off easy.
I kept you awake. Thank you. It might be worth...
Standing ovation.
Well, thank you. There is one more small thing to say if you really want to stay longer. And that is that there are actually two words.
I'm brewing now.
That's right. I understand that. There are actually a couple of words. If you really went through it with a fine-tooth comb, there's a couple of words difference between this and 3310. And I checked, and those words don't matter. Basically, this bill talks about acknowledgement, and 3310 talks about acknowledgement or approval. Makes no difference legally, and so that's the only difference. If you amend in this amendment, it's the only difference between the two bills. Okay, just for full disclosure.
Any other questions? Seeing none.
Yep.
Thank you, Randy. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 431, opening work session on 431A. Committee, it's your decision as to whether you want to hold this bill to see what happens to 3310 or whether you feel you'd like to move it out. So Representative Nolan is saying move it out. Anyone else?
Well, it doesn't hurt anything.
Okay.
What's the impact of them both passing?
Nothing.
Ledge Council squares them up at the end.
Yes. Shooting two bullets at the same time, I suspect.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to speak.
Representative Nolan, would you like to make a
point? I'll move the -A2 amendments to Senate Bill 431A.
Representative Nolan has moved the -2s into Senate Bill 431A. Any discussion? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Fiverr.
Aye.
Greenland.
Aye.
Nolan.
Yes.
Anderson.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Sumner.
Aye.
Chair Gerard.
Chair votes aye. The dash twos are moved into Senate Bill 431A. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 431A as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Nolan has moved Senate Bill 431A as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Greenland.
Aye.
Nolan.
Yes.
Smith.
Aye.
Sumner.
Aye.
Chair Gerard.
Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 431A has moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do we have a volunteer to carry?
Mr. Chair, I move that it be placed on the consent calendar.
Representative Nolan has moved Senate Bill 431A as amended to the consent calendar. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection?
That's me to carry a bill.
So be it. Senate Bill 431A has moved to the consent calendar. Committee, we will have, next Friday, we will have no scheduled meeting. But Monday and Wednesday, be prepared because we have long agendas and perhaps some lengthy testimony as we have had. Have a good weekend. We are adjourned.
Thank you.